When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Wanda, Wanda. You didn't think you were the only magical girl in town, did you? The name's Agatha Harkness. Lovely to finally meet you, dear. Hey everybody, welcome to the Marvel TV cast from Podcastica. I'm Penny.
And I'm Jim, and today we'll be talking about Agatha All Along, the brand new MCU series on Disney+. We'll fill you in on what you need to know from WandaVision and talk about some of what we know ahead of the two-episode premiere. Super exciting!
Awesome. So the series follows Agatha Harkness, who we all met in the very fantastic WandaVision series in 2021. She's played by Catherine Hahn. The show was created for television and show run by Jack Schaefer, who was also the creator and head writer for WandaVision, and also wrote the Black Widow movie. This is the first live-action treatment of a Marvel Comics character who does not have their own comic book series, and the first series to come out under the newly created Marvel Television banner. So it's a little groundbreaking.
Yeah. early reviews are absolutely raving about the series, and even reviews since, as we're recording this, it's already out, calling it bewitching, haha, deliciously devious, and crazy, yeah, in all the right kinds of ways. Variety published an article rounding up a lot of the review highlights, and it will all, of course, be linked in the show notes.
So what made you want to podcast about the show, Jim?
Okay, so this is like a two-pronged thing. I mean, I'm a Marvel guy, so I'm watching it anyways. In the land of Marvel, I think we're all in kind of this curious, like, where is everything going? And this is one of those shows that was earmarked in 2020, 2021, almost right after WandaVision, maybe during WandaVision. I can't remember the timing of it now. So this is one of those that's tied to the then, and is connected.
They announced it with the finale of WandaVision.
Yeah. So this, it's connected to a time when people were still, I think, in love with everything Marvel. And in between then and now, we've hit the rocks a bit.
Yeah.
And the TV shows have sort of gone by the wayside. And now we've got this show, which, even though it's maybe the start of maybe all of these new things, of course, with Vision Quest coming out and a couple of other shows announced, we're heading maybe in a new direction, which has got me excited. And then I got to tell you, like, especially after having watched WandaVision again for the first time, and to get ready for this show, Catherine Hahn is electric in everything. Penny, look. She reminds me of you a little bit, Penny.
Oh, no.
I'm just saying.
Really?
You're like, yes, you're like the cat now. And everybody who's listening to this right now is saying exactly the same thing. You're like the Catherine
That's
Hahn
the, like,
of
best compliment ever. I love her so much.
And she, yeah, so she's, you know, when I think of Catherine Hahn in any of the shows that I've seen her in, from way back to 10 Things I Hate About You, like way, way back, she's stolen every scene that she's been in, it seems like. And yeah, when you go back and everything. Watch, if you were watching, I think WandaVision was one of those watches when you were watching it the first time. There was so much you were trying to figure out that you almost miss how big her role was prior to, spoilers, out as kind of one of the big bads, right?
She was sneaky. It was sneaky. And
yeah.
Only because I knew what an immense talent Catherine Hahn was, I was like, that's got to be something. Like, this role is more than meets the eye. I'm gonna pay special attention to her. You know, like, yeah. I was like, there's something coming. And I,
yeah, and in the big question, I think, was, you know, how big a role is she going to have in the end of this? Because the Agatha in the comics has, prior to a certain point, was mostly an ally. So,
yeah,
which I'm sure we'll talk about. But I just like the idea of Catherine Hahn leading a show that I think has potential to be sort of a Guardians of the Galaxy in the movie verse, where you have a character who you don't generally think of as a lead being a lead, and perhaps is only a lead because you have this amazing actress who basically stole WandaVision from WandaVision.
Yeah, seriously. She's amazing. And So for me, first off, I love Marvel. I watch all the Marvel stuff, except I still haven't seen Loki season 2. I'm sorry, I'll get to it. but I also love witch stuff. I love witches. I love TV witches, book witches, movie witches. You know, I love real witch history. You know, I just spent the day yesterday in Salem, Massachusetts, like, looking at witches' hats and witches' charms and, you know, tarot card decks and stuff like that. And I have a lot of favorite, you know, fictional witches. Like, I'm a huge Charmed fan. Anyone who's been listening to the Still Slaying podcast knows that. But also, one of my very first favorite characters was Princess Alanwi in the Chronicles of Prydain, written by Lloyd Alexander. She's a sorceress, man. But I mean, yes. It's a witch. And when I was a kid, I discovered those books in like fourth grade. And I was like, she's a redhead. She's a princess. She does magic. I'm in. Like, I was so in. And, you know, over the years, I've just devoured witch fiction. And I just the other day I was having a bad day and I watched Practical Magic. I was like, it's the big guns. I need something to make me feel better. And Practical Magic like fills it every time.
Fantastic. Yes.
I love that movie. Do you have favorite fictional witches?
I mean, you know, it's honestly, like, Wanda was, as a comic book kid, like, was Scarlet Witch was always one of the first comics that I ever got, which was super random, was Scarlet Witch and Vision comic book.
That is a random place to start.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was just like, I feel like my parents would just grab what was on the rack. The colors are just like, I've always been fascinated with her character. Simply in the Marvel comic universe, she's been kind of everything and everything. She's been in every group. She's been good. She's been bad, and has been a kind of an integral character that is always, perhaps because she's a female character that was, you know, born out of the 60s, never seemed to play even Steven, even though she really was as strong or stronger than most of the male characters that she shared, you know, comics with. But I mean, you know, if you grew up in the 70s, you grew up watching Bewitched, and Samantha Stevens was absolutely fantastic. And the world, when you stop and you think about many of the shows of the 60s and the 70s and how they curtailed like a lot of the things that normally wouldn't get put on television. And here you've got witches and on network TV in kind of a funny, jovial way, like doing witchcraft, which ironically enough, I think there's a lot of people in the world today that probably wouldn't be okay with that, which is kind of funny when you stop and think about it. But I mean, you know, contemporarily for me, I mean, we're, you know, as we podcast about Buffy the Vampire Slayer. I mean, Willow is one of my all-time favorite characters for a lot of the same reasons that I talked about Wanda. Like, you talk about a character who a lot of people overlook, but who...
Very powerful.
Who turns out to have a lot more power than people give her credit for.
Yeah, and a dark side that also people were not expecting.
Yes.
Wanda often does in the comics. You're right. She goes back and forth, and the MCU version of Wanda is so incredibly moving. Like, how can you not love this character who has lost so much, goes through so much suffering, and like keeps finding ways to find love and to try again? And it's so engaging. And Elizabeth Olsen is amazing in that role. She's so good.
I think that the one, and as we kind of veer forward a little bit, mm-hmm. the one area in WandaVision that left me wanting a bit more was the fact that we got kind of the conniving and the evil Agatha, which is great. And mm-hmm. what excites me the most about this show is all of the good witches that we've talked about just now all have depth. And the depth is where I think I'm really looking forward to this journey that we're about to take with Agatha. So as we head into the first, couple of episodes, curious, I don't know a lot about this character. Fantastic Four fan. I know that version of her better than any other version. Right, so this
she was
version,
a nanny, which is so weird.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, look, I mean, this nanny did not look like Catherine Hahn. So no. Yeah. I think it's in the notes here. We'll talk about it a little bit, but she does take a transfer in the comic book world. And of course they got Catherine Hahn, who's just as uniquely beautiful and they really do a good job. And I think Elizabeth Olsen fits in that. They beautiful, of course, but there's you can tell that there's more depth to them, which adds to their beauty. And Catherine Hahn, oh, there's so many places we could go with this show.
She's so funny. She has such great timing. Were you a Parks and Recreation watcher?
I was, yeah.
She had a great arc on Parks and Rec. And I sometimes, I'll be like, oh, I just want to watch, a 20-minute, something. It's Parks and Rec, one of those episodes when she was guesting and Paul Rudd was guesting. Oh. Those episodes were so funny. And I don't even know where I first saw Catherine Hahn, but when I started following her from project to project, I was like, Bad Moms? I'm not going to watch Bad Moms. No, it's so funny.
It is. Well, and I think someone was talking to me about Catherine Hahn. This is a couple of years ago, and they compared her to her sarcasm to someone like Ryan Reynolds. And I see that.
Yeah, but to me, it's different though.
Because rare do you see a performance that she puts through that's just that. And right. I do feel like while Ryan Reynolds is perfect for Deadpool, which literally is who Ryan Reynolds is, I think he has the depth. I just think he
it's
leans a lot on
what
the start.
Shows.
Yeah. And I think with her, there's always that tinge of I'm this way because of something that you can't quite see, but you can see it in my face and you can hear it in my voice, because when she takes that turn in WandaVision, there's a lot there. We get a bit of that backstory too, which is something I'm sure we'll see connected in some way into the series. But when you see that, the depth of it goes back to the Salem witch trials, and then literally we're left with, oh, I'd say about 300 years of, well, what the hell happened here?
How did she end up in New Jersey? We don't know that yet. I hope that they fill that in at least a little bit on this series, because in between Salem and Westview, I have no idea what happened to her. And I think this show will tell us some of that history. I really hope so.
I sure hope so. I sure hope so. I'm pleasantly pleased that the first episode, I was worried that we were going to get sitcom sitcom times again. I wasn't sure if we were going to get those 30-minute little episodes like we got at the beginning of WandaVision. It does seem like they're full-on 40-plus, and they usually, as the series progresses, they usually get longer and longer. So let's hope that the journey gives us a lot. Because eight episodes?
Nine.
So, I mean, there's plenty of ground, and I know they're saying it's a mini-series, so perhaps this is all we get, but I don't know. I think in the
MCU, nothing is ever completely just one season, or like never going to come back again, or it's constantly evolving. You never know when they're going to want a character to be in a movie or be a guest in another series, or they'll like pop up with a season two. I think they make some of those decisions based on how well season one went, and you know, whether somebody has a really great idea for a way to use a character in another way. And, you know, like we all thought that the Netflix Marvel universe was gone forever, and then they're bringing Daredevil and Punisher back already. So, you know, who knows?
Well, and she's so intertwined in the comics with the First Family, Fantastic Four.
And they're
coming. Would be such a shock if she wasn't in some way a part. And as I was sort of gazing forward in the series, I would sort of be shocked if there's not something that happens along the way that starts tilting us a little forward towards the Fantastic Four, because all these characters that have been announced, from Doom to even Vision coming back, is that she's been a part of their lives in the comics.
Yeah.
It would be a horrible waste to have such a talented actress and such a unique character not play a part. Although it would be hard for me to see Katherine Hahn being a nanny. Although in WandaVision, she had that like 4-minute segment where she was super believable.
She could make anything work. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm also excited about the prospect of She-Hulk coming back with Fantastic Four, because of course in the comics, she's often like the fifth Fantastic Four person. So yeah. I'm like really looking forward
I forgot about that.
Like, I think the first Fantastic Four movie, the one that's already coming, is set in the 60s or something, right? So that's pre-She-Hulk. She's not around yet. But if it's a success, there will certainly be another Fantastic Four movie, and it'll probably be set in modern time. And I'm like, fingers crossed for my girl Tatiana Maslany. Come on. I love her. And if you haven't watched She-Hulk, go watch She-Hulk. And we podcasted about it, and it was super fun.
Dipped their toes in a lot with that show that I loved. And I absolutely loved
the breaking the fourth wall. Like I couldn't have been happier. I was I was a pig in, you know. All right, let's start with the IMDb summary. This is what IMDb said about the Agatha show. When a new series of tragedies strikes the city of Westview, the infamous Agatha Harkness finds herself down and out of power when a suspicious goth teen helps break her free from a distorted spell. Her interest is piqued when he begs her to take him on the legendary Witch's Road, a magical gauntlet of trials that, if survived, rewards a witch with what they're missing. Together, Agatha and this mysterious teen pull together a desperate coven and set off down the road.
This mysterious teen. I can't wait to talk about the first episode. Okay. Yeah. That actually, for IMDb, wasn't too bad.
No, it really wasn't. I feel like maybe Marvel gave them that and not IMDb didn't write it.
So where did we leave Agatha at the end of WandaVision? And I just did my rewatch, so I might add a little to this. If you haven't seen WandaVision, you really should see WandaVision. When I watched it the first time, I thought it was my, other than Daredevil has a special place in my heart from comic books as a kid. But after watching all of these series, WandaVision really, as far as unique creativity, balancing storylines, like they did such a tremendous job getting to the place they got at the end, where you literally had three really great storylines playing together at once. Really good balance. Like Shackman did such a great job. Anyways, Wanda Maximoff, consumed with grief at losing Vision, inadvertently creates a magical bubble over a small town in New Jersey in which she enslaves all the residents to act out sitcom versions of her life with Vision. And that is so brilliant. The first seven episodes of the series are all done in what seems like a random kind of progression of sitcoms, but how it ties together in that seventh episode is so spectacular.
It's clever, clever. Yeah,
I love it. Yes, and it wasn't just a ploy. It absolutely fit into the story, which was really nice. Poking the thread through the needle. Coincidentally, one of the residents of the town is the powerful and ancient witch, Agatha Harkness, who has been cast as wacky neighbor Agnes in Wanda's fantasy world. Agatha plays along with Wanda's spell to find out who this magical, powerful magic user is. And eventually Agatha and Wanda have a showdown. And it really is a great showdown.
Yeah.
Which Wanda does win. Although it's kind of interweaved in the final two episodes in a really great way. She frees the town from her enchanted enslavement, but imprisons Agatha in the persona of Agnes at the tail end of that. And that's the last we see of Agnes other than illusions. Perhaps some purple in the second. I'm going blank.
Oh, the Doctor Strange.
Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
But we don't see her since then. That was 2021. So it's been 3 years before we get to see where Agnes has been over the past, 3 years. Yeah. So again, if you haven't seen WandaVision, she does play a pretty sizable role in that, that grows progressively more as the season continues. And watching her steal scenes in the first four or five episodes, she's in at best 4 or 5 minutes of it, but her scenes stand out. And that says a lot because the cast of WandaVision is...
It's a phenomenal just with cast.
The, just with the leads, just fantastic. And a lot of that cast is shifting over in some way or another into this series, which is pretty amazing.
Speaking of the cast, so the cast for... The Agatha All Along show includes Aubrey Plaza, who you might know from Parks and Recreation, Legion, The White Lotus, and a very small indie film that I am constantly trying to talk people into seeing called Safety Not Guaranteed, that is about time travel, and it's hilarious, and you should see it. There's also,
I've seen that, yeah.
It's so good. It's a Duplass Brothers kind of indie film.
Oh, no. I did see it. Yeah. I did see it. Yep.
Patti LuPone, who is a Broadway legend. I know she was also in one of the seasons of American Horror Story. I think the Witch season.
Yes.
Sasha Zamir from Saturday Night Live and a bunch of other stuff, like a huge long list of things that she's done. Joe Locke plays the teen. He's a relative newcomer in Hollywood, but he was one of the stars of Heartstopper. I haven't seen that, but people loved it, So I expect good things from him.
There was quite a bit of buzz when he got cast, just like how excited they were that he was part of this cast. So
yeah.
I've not seen him in anything. So I'm pretty excited.
He's pretty much just done Heartstopper. So yeah. this is it. Deborah Jo Rupp, who we all loved in that 70s show. I mean, she was so hilarious in that show. And she was in WandaVision. And Emma Caulfield, who near and dear to my heart, was in Buffy the Vampire Slayer,
yeah.
90210, and she was also in WandaVision. And then, of course, Katherine Hahn in the lead role, and her IMDb page is very, very long, but some of the big ones are Parks and Recreation, because I just thought that role was hilarious. Tiny Beautiful Things, she was the lead of, brilliant, more vulnerable, more of a serious role. WandaVision, Transparent, which is a really funny show. The Bad Moms movies, which are kind of campy. And Glass Onion, which was the sequel to Knives Out. We covered that on Podcastica. I actually didn't like the movie. It was a pretty funny podcast to record because I've never, up until that point, I had never podcasted about something I didn't like. And so I was like, I hated it. I hated it because of this. And I hated it because of that. Now, I'll say now, Katherine Hahn was none of the reasons that I hated it. But it was funny because it was me and Jade and Jason. And Jason was like, but I liked it. And I was like, no, it's stupid. You shouldn't even like it. Like, it was a very unique podcasting experience for me.
Well, I remember this because this is when I believe I first joined the Zedhead group because I loved it. And I remember listening to the podcast thinking, she's high. Like, what is she missing? Like, why is she missing this? But
I'm even high.
In fairness, there were lots of arguments in the Pete family about my daughter hated it.
Glass onion.
So,
good.
Yeah, absolutely hated it. Like,
and
her
I
favorite...
loved Knives Out. I thought Knives Out was brilliant, but yeah, I hated Glass Onion.
Yeah. Well, I bet that the fact that you loved the first one and hated the second one has you super intrigued about the third one that's about to come out.
That's true. I am, actually. I'll definitely watch it. I mean, that's a foregone conclusion. All right. Do you want to talk about the song?
The song, yes. And WandaVision, which was absolutely a highly stylized show. It had so many sitcom references and connections. And the tropes in each were interconnected to the point where it was hard to tell which show of the era it went from, you know, the early, like the late 50s, early 60s TV shows, Dick Van Dyke being one of them, Mary Tyler Moore show, to the Bewitched era of those 60s shows that went from black and white to color and then switched into the color of the Brady Bunch. And then, of course, moved right into the current era of Modern Family and Malcolm in the Middle and Family Ties. It was just kind of a very, very well done show. Anyways, Agatha's when she is revealed as the one of the big bads of the series, they almost give her her own. From that moment on, they give her her own show where they play her song called Agatha All Along. And we'll play the accompanying video. Well, the accompanying video will be attached, but we'll play a little bit of sound clip of that because I just assumed that it was going to be the theme song of the show, but I don't think it is.
Who's been messing up everything?
It's been Agatha all along.
Who's been pulling every evil string?
It's been Agatha all along.
She's insidious. So perfidious that you haven't even noticed. And the pity is
the pity.
Killed Sparky too.
I think Catherine Hahn is having the time of her life with this role. It's like high camp, but there's depth to it. Oh, it's so fantastic.
Well, that in that video when it plays on the show, and it kind of the aha moments of her stirring the pot from literally
from the beginning.
Episode one. All the way through. And again, she downplays it so much throughout the series that you don't catch it. I mean, there was a lot of speculation, of course, but it was so well done. And that video was spectacular. Of course.
Fantastic.
Said,
and everyone reacted to it, right? It was like a huge hit immediately. Yeah. It was like all over the internet. Everybody's talking about it. And I love this. So they announced that they were going to make a show based on this character, Agatha Harkness. And right away, they announced it right away at the very end of WandaVision or right after. And at first they were going to call it House of Harkness. And then they kept releasing and changing the title. And to the point where people were like, this is the show going to suck? Like, they don't seem to know what they're doing. Like, what's going on? Like, why does it keep changing? Like, do they not have a vision for what the show is about? And so they announced Agatha Coven of Chaos, Agatha the Darkhold Diaries, Agatha the Lying Witch with the Great Wardrobe, which is just obviously a joke. And then they were like, no, we're kidding. It was Agatha all along. Like, we were always going to call it Agatha all along. And I love how meta that is. It just keeps going in a circle of self-reference that just makes me so happy. It's very 90s, but like 90s, the next generation or something. I don't know. It's so clever.
Yeah, but It certainly fits in with the style of WandaVision. It certainly seemingly, now that the first two episodes have been released, fits in with how the show starts, which I think kind of definitely fits within the which we'll get into when we do episode one. But I love the fact that the play on words, the Agatha all along, literally was what they were drawing everybody through. Yeah, it was very good. And then the great irony of ironies is they're not going to use that song.
Yeah.
So at least I don't think they are. At least it doesn't seem to be that way. But of course,
I'm sure it'll come up.
We're really early into a series. So
yeah,
that's absolutely great. Okay, so in the comics, where I first met Agatha, and if you haven't paid attention to the comics, it's worth just perusing, just typing Agatha's name in and just scrolling. You really don't even have to read much about it. Just scroll through the pictures. There's the dramatic difference between Agatha of the 60s and Agatha of the 2020s is pretty dramatic. In the comics, the character of Agatha Harkness was created by Stan Lee and Jack Kirby specifically for the Fantastic Four, making her debut in issue 94 in October of 1969. She is an ally of Marvel's First Family, and while she's a witch, and while I think if you've just seen the MCU, you look at her as perhaps a villain, she really was in many, many ways, not many ways, she was a positive character, and was the nanny to Reed Richards and Sue Storm's son Franklin. Catherine Hahn's portrayal of Agatha Harkness is loosely inspired by the character's presentation in Marvel's Ultimate Universe line of comic books, which are some of my favorites. Mm-hmm. Where she is presented as being younger and dark-haired, definitely having a darker side, even though she's still more of a hero than anti-hero. Traditionally in the comic books, Harkness is a figure of good and has been helping the forces of justice fight against evil forces in her long lifespan, which I think compared to where the MCU has placed her, is this story has the potential to be a lot more interesting because she is entering her own series as a villain, and a villain who has forgotten that she's a villain. And her quest, I think, to A, find out who she is, and then B, wherever the show is going to go, which according to the showrunner, her goal with the show was to direct the first episode because she had a vision for that. No pun intended to vision.
Yeah.
But where the thickness of the story and the characters that they've added, I have not read a whole lot about where this show is going to go, but I had such an epiphany as I was watching one of the characters specifically that I can't wait to talk about. But I am so interested in seeing where they place her throughout the series, because she does have the potential to be like a really great character moving forward should they decide to keep her intertwined into wherever they're going with. I just, the thought of her dancing in between who they have cast for the Fantastic Four led by Pedro Pascal has me just super excited.
That Fantastic Four casting is unreal. Evan Moss Bachrach, he just won an Emmy for his work on The Bear. And, you know, I've had my eye on him for a while, because I was one of those people that watched Girls, and he was great in Girls.
Even though good.
That show was kind of uneven, he was great in it. And then he was amazing in Andor. So good in Andor. And so different. So different. And then The Bear, again, so good, but so different. So I'm excited for him. I'm excited for Joseph Quinn, who just crushed it in A Quiet Place Day One recently. And of course, we all loved him in Stranger Things as Eddie Munson. So, like, I'm excited for that. I could talk about how great Pedro Pascal is for like days. I don't think I'll go down that rabbit hole right now. But like, Oh my God, do I love Pedro Pascal. And then I don't know, the actor playing Sue Storm, she has a pretty impressive IMDb page, but I was like, oh, I haven't seen that. Oh, I haven't seen that. Oh, I haven't seen that. So I just don't, I'm not familiar with her at all. But I assume with the other three, she's also awesome. Yeah.
There's weight to that. I mean, there's weight to all of the characters that she's played. And I, like you, haven't seen her in many things. But I will, with the rest of that cast, I will trust the judgment of somebody who I haven't seen just based on the roles that she's played. It seems like they've put her in the middle of a lot of good shows. But the funny thing about it, as strong as that cast is, Catherine Hahn, strangely enough, would fit very well with them. So
I really want to see her and Pedro Pascal in a scene together. I think that is some chemistry that is just going to explode off the screen.
Well, and one thing to remember here, Penny, too, we don't know what's happened between 1693 and current day.
Yeah.
She looks exactly the same. So the potential for her to show up in the 60s, I think
that's true.
Especially when you stop and you think about the kind of how they've been playing with her as a 1960s sitcom character.
Yeah.
And I think the black and white character they keep going back to as being like her strongest role in WandaVision, I think would be somewhat entertaining to see a version of that actually in the era
that the Fantastic Four movie is going to be in. Yeah.
Yeah. So I just, the more I think about this, the more I think I would be like, you could place her there as a nanny and you could kind of backdraft her story as being an ally of the Fantastic Four, which even adds more depth to the Scarlet Witch story when you take into account that, yes, she was trying to steal her powers, but Scarlet Witch in a lot of ways was the big bad in that whole
series.
Yeah,
she was. Yeah, it's not like Scarlet Witch in that series was like up to all kinds of virtuous justice based activities, right? She had enslaved an entire town. And Agatha, you know, trying to steal her powers, she was kind of mean about it, but I mean, I don't know, witch versus witch, they get into it. That's kind of between witches.
There's so many ways you can, well, but the, it, right. There's so many, she was getting burned. I mean, a lot of her story seems evil, but I do think that the more you get to know her journey, I think the more interesting that journey can be, and it can retell a lot of that story. An already great story can become just that much deeper as we go forward, which is why I think I'm so glad I'm doing this podcast, because as I was texting you earlier, I had some feelings about it. And I think the more depth that we get and the more watches that we have, I think the more fun the series is going to get.
Yeah, I think so too. Well, I think we've covered up. I think we've covered as much as we can without giving away anything that happens in the first episode. So I'm going to call it. That's our show. And as you can tell, we're both really excited about Agatha, and we hope you are too.
If you want to join the conversation, of course, you can email us or send a voicemail to agatha@podcastica.com, and we'll put feedback posts up on the Podcastica Facebook page, or you can find us, of course, at podcastica.com.
And while you're over there at podcastica.com, check out some of our other shows. Podcastica is constantly growing and putting out content, and there's so much good stuff right now. From started this week, season 3 of From. I haven't started watching it yet because I had my brain sort of focused on Agatha all along and also Cast of the Rings, but I'm so excited to start From because I've seen just enough chit chat about it to know that the first episode like blew people's minds.
So you haven't seen, the new season, right?
The new season.
Okay.
I've seen season 1 and season 2. Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't, I can't get my head around it yet. So I need a runway before I start watching that, but the coverage, If you haven't listened to the podcast, make sure you do, because they have interviewed all of the main cast and they are really
some of them several times.
Yes. I mean, so this of all of our podcasts, which are all great in one way or another for different reasons. If you're looking for one with like authentic in the trenches details, this is maybe the one other than, you know, the cast of us proper that really intertwines you with the show and with the people in the show. And those people are so jazzed about that specific podcast that you would be silly. The show's great.
Yeah, but it's a puzzle box show. So there's all these mysteries and there's all these questions and the plots keep doubling back and circling around and questions come up and get answered. But then, no, that wasn't the answer. So having a podcast where they pull all that stuff apart and organize it for you and is really, it just adds a dimension to the show. It makes it so entertaining. If you liked Lost and you loved like trying to figure out what was really going on in Lost, you'll love From. And you'll love the What Is From cast. I guarantee it.
Lost is hallowed ground for me. But the one thing that stands out to me about From specifically is it's more compact. So they really do answer and then re-answer questions a lot quicker than they did.
I think there's a lot of lessons learned from Lost. Lost was in a lot of ways the first of its kind.
Yes.
And then a bunch of shows sort of tried to copy it exactly and failed. I think From took the best of what Lost did and then made it scarier.
Yeah. Oh, man. There are not many shows that scare me. That one scares me a bit. It's not Salem's Lost scary, but it's not far behind in some of the
themes are very similar. You might want to have a pillow to grab while you're watching it. Kind of scary. Yeah.
So make sure you listen to that. And I got to jump in here. And you should listen to Cast of the Rings. I haven't started season two yet. I started season one late. My first favorite books were the Lord of the Rings books and The Hobbit specifically. So jumping into the series and having people super smart about the series and about the lore, like you guys are, Penny and Anwen. Anwen, of course, is super, being in New Zealand and being, having done tours and talking about someone who is
Tolkien expert, the Lord of the Rings expert. I like to say I'm her Ed McMahon. Like, I'm just like, yes, Anwen. And then what happened? Like, I'm all deep in there when it comes to the current Rings of Power show. I watch it like 3 or 4 times every episode and do outside research. But when it comes to the like deep Tolkien lore and knowing all of the history of Middle Earth, Anwen is amazing at it.
Yes.
And
yes.
It's such a fun show to cover. And the production values on it are unmatched. It is so like, turn off the sound and just look at it. It's so beautiful.
That's beautiful.
The settings, you can tell the costumes, the makeup, the special effect, everything's so beautiful.
So many times when shows have that much money put into them, they fail on several levels. And this one, just in the beauty, just in capturing that magic that Peter Jackson captured all those years ago, and in some ways even more so just because of the depth of it, because of the amount of episodes, I think is really spectacular. But the show, if you're at all in tune with Tolkien's stories, this fits in so very well. And there's definitely some mystery and intrigue as well, especially if you're watching season one. I cannot wait to see where this goes. So I'm behind, I will not lie, but I will catch up as soon as we're done with Agatha.
It's so hard to keep up with all of the TV that is good right now. We are living in the golden age of television. There's like excellent TV coming out on like all the different streaming services. And I can only handle sort of like 2 big shows at a time ever. So right now it's Rings of Power and Agatha, and I finished Snowpiercer. So done with Snowpiercer, and now it's just Agatha and Rings of Power for now. And I have to make room in my schedule. I have to, because the second season of the Daryl Dixon spinoff of Walking Dead is coming at the end of this month, and I can't not watch it. I mean, I'm
we're
a Walking
less than
Dead
a week
fan.
Away.
I have to watch it. So I'll have 3 shows going on at once, and I'll just have to find a way to make that work. Rings of Power is almost over, though. We only have 2 episodes left.
Yeah. Well, and I'll just say a couple of, like, so first of all, if you listen to any show on Podcastica, you absolutely should. listen to the Daryl Dixon feed for that, because it is on our main feed. Jason Gabassi, who runs Podcastica, is the main host for that show. And it's just listening to Jason and Lucy, who are basically the patriarch and matriarch at this point of our little family at Podcastica. There's such a family element to it. It's worth listening to, even if you don't watch the show. Trust me, I spent 2 seasons listening to podcasts about The Walking Dead before I actually started watching The Walking Dead. So I highly recommend that. And I do want a shameless plug, especially since Penny and I are podcasting right now about Agatha. This is more or less taking the place in our hearts for Buffy the Vampire Slayer, the Still Slaying podcast, which will be coming back as soon as this is over. And then we're going to be kicking into gear with the sister show, or the brother show, or the other show, or the spinoff, Angel, which if you have time to catch up, and that's all I'm going to say about that. It's a show worth watching. So if you haven't caught up, just pick some of the Still Slaying podcasts, send us messages and let us know that you did. And of course, any one of the 8 million other podcasts here at Podcastica that are going strong.
And thank you all for listening to us and tuning in. And we'd love to hear your thoughts and your voicemails and your emails and comments on Facebook, all that stuff. And we'll be back next time to talk about episode 1. And until then, I'm Penny.
And I'm Jim. Get witchy with it.